You shall not LastPass. Just when you thought it was safe to go in the water, CW Control has a new phishing attack. Maybe. And new thinking, new possibilities for hackers. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by Cloudy's Heroes. Every year, OIT Gives and OIT VoIP look forward to conducting the annual Toys for Tots Toy Drive in our gift matching program. Let's make a child's wish come true this holiday season by giving back to those in need. To make a donation, visit go.oit.co/cloudysheroes.
Good morning and welcome to the December 2nd, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent. Everyone doesn't understand what's going on in the background. Oh, there's so much. We're crying laughing. The bloopers. I don't even know what's happening in the bloopers. How are you doing? Enough of me.
I'm fan-freaking-tastic. I started out hard with the blooper. We have our guest person in the audience, in the green room, laughing at how stupid you and I are before the show, the shenanigans. But even more so, Tony, we got to share with the audience the fun we were having. And this is thanks to Phil, not like that, you know, the song he came up with for Hackett that, you know, wasn't his song. But Phil brought this up to us for our banter topic. It is an app called Lenza. Lenza app? Is that where we were playing with, Tony?
Lenza, yeah.
Yeah. So it's an AI-driven, just like, what was it, Midriff and some of the other ones. But in this one, you upload your own selfies. And Tony and I did this, and Simon will put it on the screen in a second. You upload your own selfies, and then it uses AI to come up with the most ridiculous photos you've ever seen in your life. So these are... Tony, what are your thoughts when you see... I don't know where the pink outfit came from. Don't get me wrong. I would totally rock a pink outfit. It's just, yeah, that shirt.
Boom.
Yeah, that's a lot of something.
The beard was awesome. And then somehow you ended up as you're clearly part of the Muslim movement. And there's going to be an international incident because of that. You're clearly in space at some point.
I want to point out my time back in the day in space.
Yeah, of course. I want to point out that our number one problem when we were doing this was finding selfies. Like we were like, well, you can't have anyone else in the picture. So we were just like kind of searching back and you search for yourself and you just kind of upload it and you're seeing what happens. This is what it produces. It is hilarious. Look at that mega beard. That's amazing.
No. And like some of this hair here is awesome. Then your pictures, man. Oh my God. Your pictures. They took the blue steel sexiness and they made it even more sexy. It is absolutely amazing.
I'm not from Duran Duran. How did I go from just a random?
I don't know. This is giving me man in the mirror vibes, dude. This is so phenomenal. And then my favorite one is that last one. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom one, Simon, where he's got that blue background, that Rick roll. Oh my God. Like, we need to send that out, you know.
there's no, you don't, I didn't even send a picture with my face sideways. That's what's weird about that. Like it produced that on its own. So yeah. I am fascinated by the AI, you know, what it took to create the different angles, the different outfits. There were outfits you and I, well, unless the space outfit was clearly.
Yeah. I do not own an astronaut outfit.
Yeah. But those outfits, other than one shirt that I was wearing, none of that was something that I own. And the hair, the boof, I mean, pretty intense.
It's awesome. And you know what else, you know, I can only speak for MSP Dispatch, for Tony and myself, to our audience. We're never going to give you up. We're never going to let you down, but we will get into the news.
Let's get into some news. Kicking it off on our first story. GoTo and LastPass confirm that a hacker has attacked on a shared cloud storage service. In a post on Wednesday, LastPass CEO Kareem Touba said his password management firm recently detected, quote, unusual activity within its third-party cloud storage service and immediately launched an investigation. quote, we have determined that an unauthorized party using information obtained in August 2022, an incident, was able to gain access to certain elements of our customers' information. Our customers' passwords remain safely encrypted due to LastPass's zero-knowledge architecture. In a separate post on Wednesday, GoTo Chief Executive Patty Srinivasan, apologize about the mispronunciation, made no mention of unauthorized party gaining access to some customers' information. Addressing GoTo customers, Srinivasan said that his firm was, quote, investigating a security incident. Based on investigation to date, we have detected unusual activity within our development environment and third-party cloud storage service. The third-party cloud storage service is currently shared by both GoTo and its affiliate, LastPass. So much to unpack here. The concerns are immediate. You hear LastPass, you hear hacked, you hear affiliates, you hear shared storage architecture. Ray, what is jumping out at you as something that you'd be concerned about with everything I just said?
I was talking about this with today with some friends on some Discords and Slacks and asking them, and they brought up some thoughts that I hadn't thought of before. So, you know, they're getting a local cache copy of the vault, right? And so MFA is not going to apply because MFA is checked at the cloud level. The brute force blocking, right? So many brute force attacks, it'll stop you from accessing it. Those are not going to apply because again, that's for the app or the cloud only. So the local cache is not going to, and I did check, LastPass does have a web page up for brute force attacks speaking exactly this. So, you know, I'm going off their words specifically. So that protection is not going to be there. So then the only real protection is the master password. If they're brute forcing that master password, making sure it's not a dictionary word or it's not an easy to access password. Then some brought up, well, everybody should be using 15 character plus complex, you know, alphanumeric special character passwords, which I agree with 100%. So I'll get to the thing. I went over all the things we can't control. I'll get to the thing we can control. LastPass and many password managers give you the ability to set at an organizational level the minimum complexity for your password, minimum length, minimum complexity. We use LastPass Enterprise for years. We're on Keeper now. But honestly, even with RoboForm, Bitwarden, I've never seen one where you can't do that at an organizational level. And so that's the takeaway here. What's done is done. Change your passwords, audit and all that stuff. But MSP should be going back and doing an audit of their clients and making sure, because there are reports for how much they adhere to this policy and adjusting as necessary and putting out communication as necessary. Because otherwise, I don't see anything else that can be done here. Do you, Tony?
If I say LastPass and hacked, that's a verbal Ebola. That is incredibly toxic and instant paranoia for everyone. In this particular case, the passwords themselves haven't been hijacked or accessed in clear text so far. But as terrifying as this is, this has to be treated as an opportunity. Our primary audience is the MSP community, the managed service providers out there, the technology service providers out there, the people that are handling that last mile for each of the customers' IT infrastructure and needs. This is an opportunity for you to go right now to all of your customers and say, LastPass was hacked. It looks like everything's okay. Let's start changing your passwords now. Let's consolidate. Let's put a centralized repository where we're using a specific type of standard and framework for these passwords. This is your opportunity, people. This is not just a revenue opportunity. This is a relationship binding opportunity that you can use. And it was a shot across the bow. I just want to remind everyone that. Don't think of this as something so terrifying. Think of this as a great opportunity to move forward with your customers. That being said, there are many opportunities and many centralized offerings that we're all using. There's one big centralized offering that the MSP community is using. Ray, let's talk about it.
So my second top story, a Reddit post was posted following a blog entry talking about a potential phishing attack campaign centered around ConnectWise's control application. To talk with me about the actual story and their feedback on it is Huntress's sales engineer for partner success joining us a second time, the best bow tie in the industry, Mr. Ethan Tancredi. How you doing, Ethan?
I'm doing well, Ray. Thanks for having me, Tony. Great to see you. You know, so, and that Duran Duran look was awesome.
Boom! Boom! Off camera, we were laughing so hard. I mean, that was about 30 minutes of us just laughing before we started filming.
Phenomenal. Ethan, give us the what's been reported, right? What the gentleman is alleging, and then we'll get you the Huntress visibility. And for clarity, the Reddit post that's there, Andrew Kaiser Huntress gave a full long, which I found out afterward came from Ethan. So, which is Andrew said, talk to Ethan. He knows everything. So we appreciate you. But there's a full write up there as well. But Ethan, let's start with what is alleged here.
So what's being alleged is that a threat actor could maliciously take over Screen Connect sessions and manipulate them. But what's really at the end of the day, ConnectWise did put out a patch beginning of November to mitigate this URL manipulation potentially. But all of this stems with the same underlying attack, which is a phishing email. And once again, going to what Tony was talking about LastPass, taking an opportunity to educate your end users. Here's another opportunity to do some education about phishing and also for yourself as an MSP, right? That is coming through. I mean,
and that's the big takeaway, right? Because we want to have one of my call outs to the security world last year was give me easy. Now it doesn't even have to be easy, but give me understandable, digestible, actionable items. Right. Don't just tell me the world is falling. Don't just tell me, you know, we got Hammond breaking Minecraft with the Log4j. So give me what can we do? And just like we just gave you LastPass, now we're here. The takeaway, it's phishing education, people. It's not, it's going to happen. You can, it's the playground. It's like when my 9-year-old comes to me and says, you know, one of his friends told him is one of the Pokemon cards is not a legit Pokemon card. Like, oh, I get it. People can say anything they want. It's how to identify it. And at least in the emails that were sent out, there were items that were clear phishing attempts to me, at least. You know, password spraying is not new. You know, go back to social engineering back in my MSP days. I would get calls from at 2 a.m. from my hotel clients. You know, we have one of your agents trying to log in, but they're using a tool we don't use and they want to check the Windows logs. And I'm like, this happens. But takeaway here, this is a lot of nothing, right? So,
yeah.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ethan. Here's the expert.
Yeah, no, and I agree. This is like, we are seeing it, but we're seeing Screen Connect not only in the phishing attack manner that, you know, was posted on Reddit, but we're seeing, honestly, what we're seeing more of in the wild is phishing attacks coming from places like pretending to be Geek Squad or PayPal or things to end users saying, call this 800 number. We just renewed your annual subscription. And, you know, you have 24 hours to cancel it or else we're going to charge you $400. Right. And end users are clicking on that and initiating a Screen Connect where the very helpful agent from Geek Squad will go and show you how to get into your bank and send them a payment, you know. But at the same time, as they're walking out the door, then they install the Screen Connect persistence. And so that has been the scary thing that, and honestly, Huntress would not have found this without our partners alerting us and saying, hey, you know, one of our end users called and said Geek Squad was helping them and hung up because it got suspicious. Well, and they said, Huntress, can you look on the machine, see what's going on, anything sus? And we looked and we're like, well, we see two Screen Connects. One of them is to, you know, a domain like basco.best or funfood.shop. And that doesn't seem like your MSP name. And sure enough, you know, we start looking at some of these and we're like, oh no, these are totally fake domains being spun up. But like, and from our research, this is what is happening here. People are cracking Screen Connect, if you will, old versions, and using those in their attacks. So, like, but it comes back once again, phishing and awareness. Like, Mr. Mrs. End User, like, do you have a Geek Squad account? Did you ever? Why are you calling?
Don't accept anything you didn't go looking for. It boils down to that simple. And that's not me. That's Steve Gibson. I've heard him say it 1,000 times. But if you didn't, if you weren't looking for it, why would you download it? Why would you open it? Why would you, you know what I mean? Just don't do it. And it's hard. It's like walking by, what was that, that movie, Phone Booth. You know, the phone booth starts ringing, the telephone booth, and you walk by and you pick it up because you're freaking curious, right? Like, I get it. And, you know, I understand. And this is where everybody's like, Simon's like, what's phone booth? Anyway, it's a good movie.
No, but he's saying, what is a phone booth? What is a phone booth? What, saying, I don't understand. Not his, what's phone booth? What is a phone booth? I don't
know. This episode brought to you by AARP. No. we'll leave it at that. It's an opportunity for education. Nothing new. The sky is not falling. Using free trials of RMM and remote access tools to do phishing attacks and to do, you know, to compromise, unwitting victim systems. That's not new. We see this article pop up at least every month, you know, Tactical RMM, Synchro MSP, Ninja, every single one. Oh yeah, they're being used for a malicious attack. And no, it's just somebody signing up as a trial and, you know, leveraging the tools they can. But thank you, Ethan. We appreciate it. For those that want to follow more of Ethan's stuff, we'll put his contact information on the screen and in the show notes below. And once again, Ethan, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Great being here. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of these selfies.
You got it. But for the next one, I don't even know how to lead this in. This is
crazy. I'll lead myself right in. Sometimes there's bad people doing bad things. Sometimes there's just some things that happen that are bad. Coming right out of the gate, my next story is from bleepingcomputer.com. Hyundai, the car manufacturer, bug allows hackers to remotely unlock and start cars. Story by Bill Tolis. Vulnerabilities in the mobile apps have exposed Hyundai and Genesis car models after 2012 to remote attacks that allow unlocking and even starting the vehicles. Security researchers at Yuga Labs found the issue and explored similar attacks services in SiriusXM smart vehicle platforms used in cars from other makers such as Toyota, Honda, FCA, Nissan, Acura, and Infiniti. That allows them to remotely unlock, start, locate, flash, and honk them. The mobile apps of Hyundai and Genesis, named My Hyundai and My Genesis, allow authenticated users to start, stop, lock, and unlock their vehicles. After intercepting traffic generated from the two apps, the researchers analyzed it and were able to extract API calls for further investigation. They found that the validation of the owner is done based on the user's email address, which was included in the JSON body of the post request. Next, analysts discovered that the My Hyundai app did not require an email confirmation upon registration. They created a new account using the target's email address with an additional control character at the end. Finally, they sent an HTTP request to the Hyundai's endpoint containing the spoofed address in the JSON token and the victim's address in the JSON body, bypassing the validation check. Ray, as soon as I said that they did not authenticate the email, I could feel you go, are we just talking about a real simple error in the way the application was written? I feel like is it something that's so small that is a keystone to an avalanche of problems? Is that what I'm seeing? Or am I overcomplicating this?
You know, we've been doing this a long time. When I sit here and you ask a question and it's not new thoughts that come up, it's which of my previous rants already covered this, right? Are we going to talk about supply chain? Are we going to talk about vendors reviewing code? Are we going to talk about third-party audits? Are we going to talk about having systems that are isolated from each other in different islands so you can't use the entertainment system to get to the flight controls? Like, I'm not sure which rant is applicable here. Look, my Cadillac. We're on the same page. I can use the app. I can unlock the car. I can turn it on. And I swear to you, the first moment I downloaded and opened the app and I realized what it was, I'm like, if I can do it, this means theoretically anybody else can too. Right. And that's a scary proposition. It did shape what I leave in the car and what I, my expectations of privacy. And it's a weird thing to say, but you know, I chose the convenience over the security, but I don't rely on the security. You get what I'm saying? I don't leave anything in my car that if it was lost, I'd be lost without. And that comes back to the training here. It's, should we be asking people to understand people are fallible, mistakes can happen. If you have this convention, it means somebody else can too. And I get that's a very adult, mature, that's a lot to ask everybody. Because at the same time, you can't buy the Hyundai without it, right? It doesn't exist. So I don't know what to do here. Like, I don't know. People are going to, the software, maybe I'm a little nice today. I don't know why. I got two bottles of bourbon waiting for me. But, you know, I want to say yes, the software developers should be planning around this. But at the same time, I also know as a human, this is going to happen.
Well, let's just kind of wrap it up with the very simple concept that there are going to be some mistakes made in a foundation or of a build of something that you use out of sheer convenience. Everyone stay safe. I love the way that Ray immediately jumped to, you know, it made me consider what I'm leaving in the car based on the application. Just be safe, everyone. Keep yourself up to date. Use common sense and please, 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 change your passwords.
Ray, let us know in the comments. Let us know in the comments if you think I'm being too soft on the developers or if, like, you know, if you think I'm asking too much of the end users that don't download anything. You know what I mean? Because, yeah.
We get yelled at in the comments for the stuff we missed.
There you go. Why don't we get into the notables? There you go. I'm sorry. I'm talking all over you today, dude. Sorry. Go ahead. In my first notable mention, Microsoft fix for Windows 11 copy performance, written by Sergio Gatlan on bleepingcomputer.com. After more than a month, Microsoft has finally fixed the file copy slowdown affecting Windows 11 22H2. According to the company, the issue caused significant reduction in performance while copying large files from a remote computer to a Windows 11 computer or when copying files on a local drive. Microsoft was not specific on the actual decreases in performance on affected systems. However, users' reports show that the amount of time needed for the file operations could sometimes be more than double the expected time for the same operation on a non-Windows 11 machine. In addition to rolling out the preview fix for the issue in Windows 11 preview build 2252, Microsoft has also provided a temporary workaround for affected customers. The final fix will roll out in a monthly cumulative update through Windows Insider builds. In my second notable mention, Microsoft KB5020044 breaks Task Manager, written by Joe Rogan on mspoweruser.com. No, not that Joe Rogan. On November 29th, Microsoft rolled out an optional KB5020044 update for Windows 11 22H2. Unfortunately, the update is causing issues with the Task Manager for some who have installed it. Based on the company's investigation, even though the Task Manager's functionality is not affected, users may see some elements displayed in the wrong colors, affecting the readability of the UI. In addition, the issue most likely affects users who opted for custom color mode in the personalization settings. Those using light or dark mode are not affected even after installing the update. Microsoft has provided a temporary solution for affected users while working on the fix. The solution is in the show notes or in the show notes below.
And in my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Google discovers a Windows exploit framework used to deploy spyware. Google's threat analysis group, TAG, has linked an exploit framework that targets now patch vulnerabilities in the Chrome and Firefox web browsers and the Microsoft Defender security app to Spanish software company. While TAG is a Google team of security experts focused on protecting Google users from state-sponsored attacks, it also keeps track of dozens of companies that enable governments to spy on dissidents, journalists, and political opponents using their surveillance tools. The exploitation framework consists of multiple components, each of them targeting specific security flaws in software on the target's device. Heliconia Noise, a web framework for deploying a Chrome renderer bug exploit, followed by a Chrome sandbox, escapes to install agents on the targeted device. Heliconia Soft, a web framework that deploys a PDF containing the Windows Defender exploit, tracked as CVE-2021-422298, and Heliconia Files, a set of Firefox exploits for Linux and Windows, one tracked as CVE-2022-2648-5. And in my next notable mention, you can now use images as choices on Microsoft Forms. Microsoft now allows you to use images as answers on forms. According to the Redmond company, the feature release has already been started, but its global rollout is expected to begin next month. Image support on forms has always been a huge request within the Microsoft community. With this, many educators, students, and other individuals relying on forms will be delighted to have this new support. According to Microsoft, support for images will be accessible for both forms and quizzes, and there are three available ways to insert them, via bulk, drag and drop, or copy and paste. The first option can handle up to 5 images at once, whether from a local source or OneDrive and Bing search, and the limit size is up to 5 megs per image and supports forms on desktop and mobile.
In our feedback from previous episodes, Jason Morales says, "I'm internet famous now, LOL." Yes, sir, you are. You are internet famous. And he goes on to say, "I think legally you would need some sort of feedback from the employee to either explicitly confirm or deny something as serious as this." He's referring to the story we had about Elon Musk sending out the "you need to work hard" or GTFO email that was grounds for automatic dismissal, and the I believe she was a software engineer. I forgot her role. I apologize, but she was in Ireland and she was suing. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think there's a default you leave your work because, you know, the email said so. And then our show regular disc Josh says, "Sounds like the 90s hype words. Most extreme hardcore code ninja employees only, radical dude." And to that I say, cowabunga, eat my shorts. Absolutely.
And jumping into our community events, today at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 38 at 38, episode number 7 with Ben Bunting. On December 5th, an in-person event, Women of the IT Channel Leadership Summit East in New York, New York. On December 6th, an in-person event, Connect IT Local in Atlanta, Georgia. Also on December 6th, at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. And finally, on December 8th, an in-person event, Connect IT Executive Roadshow in Miami, Florida.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we lived, we laughed, we loved, we gave some spooky stories about ConnectWise and the phishing attacks. Our cars may or may not be broken into using.
I exposed my background in Duran Duran, and you expose your astronaut former life.
But you know, we're never going to give you up, and we're never going to let you down. That's all I can say.
Where do you keep these things in your head? Like,
when you go to school, and I should have been studying calculus and trig, and, you know, I couldn't tell you the chemical makeup of sodium chloride, but you want to go back to 50s music trivia? I'm your guy.
So. That's why you watch Breaking Bad. That's exactly why you watch Breaking Bad.
Exactly. And we are going to start a GoFundMe to get Simon to watch The Simpsons, because it's only been on for 30 something years and he has no idea who Bart Simpson is. But until then, until the next episode, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Hold on.
Yeah, I know. I see it.
When did I come from Duran Duran? That's what I want to know. Like, what is
that? Is nice.
No, and I put in my pictures. You look good, dude. No. Some of these, like, I'm like, wow. And then I got this Prince Ali Ababa shit going on. Like, it's pretty dope. Don't get me wrong. Some of these, dude. I don't know, dude. Like this, I don't even know what to say to this. This is.
He's on mute. I love when
it's
you
okay,
start
the show.
It's
okay because I did November 29th, so it's all good.
One blooper doesn't cancel out another blooper.
But if I blooped if I blooped on the YouTubes while I'm in mute, does it count?
Yeet.
All right. Oh, good Lord. All right. One more time. I agreed.
Okay, so how about this? How about I just jump into the wait, hold on, let me do the you guys, I'm kind of messed that up. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to take that from the top. Sorry. That was a spill. I'm a wreck today, you guys. What's going on?